All right, here we go. Welcome to this edition of the Showcasing College Baseball Podcast, powered by College Recruit Prep. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us wherever you might be watching or listening from. If this is your first time with us, welcome. Go give us a follow on our Facebook group page at Showcase and College Baseball, or visit us on the World Wide Web at collegerecruitprep.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Armilla Tech, pioneers in sports communication technology. Imagine a world where every play call is crystal clear, secure, and executed with precision. That's the world Armilla Tech has created. Trusted by top coaches across North America, Armilla Tech's innovative electronic play calling system is transforming how football, baseball, and softball games are being played, one play at a time. Visit armillatech.com for more information. Now on to today's episode and guest. Today's guest is a special person. I can honestly say this, I'm not sure there's a human being who loves life and baseball more than this guy. I met him when I was 18 years old, and without a doubt, he changed my life. He's forgotten more about the game of baseball than most of us will ever know. He's got a laugh that will make you laugh. He's my former coach, he's a friend, and he can hit a little. Just ask him. Here's my conversation with baseball lifer, Benny Castillo.
All right, boys, girls, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching this, I know you're seeing this handsome fella on the screen today. If you're listening to this, get ready because you're about to hear his voice. Benny Castillo, welcome to the Showcase in College Baseball podcast. My friend, my coach, my mentor. There's so many things I want to call you. Benny, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
Ross, what's going on, man? It's great to see you, man. You're making me sound old. I'm getting old, man. Slow it down, son. Good to see you, Ross.
I love it. Hey, guys, to the audience of the Showcase College Baseball podcast, guys, who I'm talking to today is his name is Benny Castillo. And Benny Castillo is, like, the way I would describe Benny is baseball. This is what baseball means to me, who he is. A little introduction. I met Benny Castillo when I was an 18-year-old in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, playing at Augustana University Division II school. Shout out to the Vikings, national champions 2017, 18, whatever year it was. Benny Castillo was on staff at Augustana. And I just want to say this, Benny, I know I've told you this probably 100 times, but for the audience, I told you as we were talking offline earlier that as you get older, you realize that this game is about relationships. It's about the coaches, the players, the brotherhood that it is. And as I started into college baseball, man, you were just instrumental on the love that I had for the game and developed the way you made me see the game. Got to the audience, Benny Castillo was one of those coaches for me that it's a guy we're talking this many years later, how much impact you had on my life, but just to everybody's life that you're around and the guys that you coach. So I want this audience to get to know you because the way you impacted my life, man, I'm 100% sure you could do this 10 times over. And if you're listening to this, I encourage you to reach out to Benny. I encourage you to follow him. I encourage you to get to know him because, man, he's gonna have an impact on your life. So that said, that's Benny Castillo. I could sit here and say I can go down the line and his resume, guys. Oh my goodness, we'll get into that. It's impressive. So Benny, I want to just lead off with that. I appreciate the impact you had on my life. I appreciate the opportunity that I had to know you get to know you at Augustana and the influence you had on my baseball career and just my life in general. And I'll lead with this. How do you remember things, man?
Yeah, man. Oh.
Benny, you there, man?
Yeah, I appreciate you, Ross.
Oh, Benny, okay.
I appreciate you, man. You know me as a lucky, happy, lucky guy. And you know me as a guy with a lot of energy. But, as you get older, you get very... You get very sentimental, man, and appreciate you feeling like that about me because you've been in this game long enough. And, sometimes it's a grind, and sometimes you go and you're not even sure if you're impacting, if you're looking like a fool. And as I put myself out there, you know? And so these tears are happy tears. It's just, it's good to hear that, man, because you just grind. I've been doing it for a long time. You know, as flamboyant as I am, I hate to talk about myself. I'm sure you know that. I enjoy listening to people talk about what I've done in a game and what I represent. I hope I represent refreshing, fun, because in the game today, we're losing that a little bit. We're losing a little bit of the reality. And although I'm old school, I like to keep it fun. I like to let kids know, hey, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to goof around. And we did a lot of that, man. We did a lot of clowning. I was still young when I was coaching you. I was still thought I was hot. I was still playing, you know, kind of finishing my career. So I came in at a pivotal point in my life where I was making changes, going from a young man to a grown man. And you guys helped me so much in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a freaking Dominican fish out of water, you know. So yeah, man. I remember you and your brother, man. Just being there all the time with a big smile, learning. Young, eager, and you know, you got your stuff handed to you sometimes, and you realize you weren't that good.
Amen.
That's one of my favorite lines. You know, you weren't that good. None of us are that good, and that's where I take it from. I start from there. Every kid that I come in contact with, I'm not. I'm okay with being ridiculed or looking like the old senile man, but I let them know you're not that good. And sometimes I don't use clean language, as you know, you know. So I start from there. I let them know they're not that good. I love you. I think you're okay, but you're not that good. You know why? Because when I was in spring training with the Texas Rangers, I came out of Oklahoma State, big cock daddy. And I'm I'm taking BP, and I'm thinking the whole world's watching me. This is in the middle of spring training, 250 players in all those diamonds, you know, the four diamonds.
Yeah, yeah.
And this old man back then, they smoked. He was smoking and hiding it behind his leg. And I come out of the cage, and I hit the cage because I'm pissed off, but I'm acting all cock daddy. He goes, and it's real quiet. He goes, "You ain't that good, Castillo." And I don't know if to be his ass or high. And I got all, and you know what? I went back to my room. I go, he's right. I'm not that good. So if we start from that level, if we start this podcast from that level, then people know what this is going to be like for the rest of the next 40 minutes.
Man, Benny. Hey, you know what? I'm so glad you said that, because this is what I want to communicate and articulate. I didn't understand that. Like when I was 18, guys, and it's okay to admit you don't know what you're doing. It's okay to admit you don't know what's going on. It's okay to ask for help. But what Benny helped me understand, that's crazy that Benny, that statement impacted you so much, because it impacted me. It made me realize, don't take yourself so seriously. What are we doing? Why is it so important? Back up a little.
What are we doing?
Yes. So I love hearing that. And I want to, Benny, I know you don't like talking about yourself, but listen, dude, it's important, because we're laying the train track, the foundation. It's your credibility. And guys, what Benny has seen in the game, what he's done in the game, he's forgotten more about baseball than most of us will ever even learn. So, Benny, I want to start with this. I want to stay directed, because I want to go at a couple different dots on the timeline. I want to know about Benny Castillo, Benigno Castillo, and your upbringing, man, because of who you are and the spirit that you have and how happy and energetic you are. Tell us about yourself. I want to know, where were you born? Where'd you come up? What was your upbringing like, you know, in your early years?
Man, listen, Ross, my life is like a movie, man. My life is like a good movie. Like a good movie. I always like to think that, you know, the cliche of your glass is halfway full.
Yeah.
From the day you met me, you could say that about me, right?
That's right.
Yeah, man. I like to think that my glass is halfway full. I have a lot of things to be sad about. I have a lot of things to say, whoa, you know, and I do. I'm human. Oh, you know, I'm this and that and this. But when I came up, I was born in Dominican Republic, youngest of five. Very poor, just like you see on TV. None of that stuff on TV is fake. just dirt poor. No dad around, just a mom. And at a young age, we moved to the island of Puerto Rico back in the 70s and the 60s. You were always trying to hop around to find a better life like any other human being. Well, my mother met a man, older man, and he took us to Puerto Rico. And I was very young. And I found a baseball one day at this baseball field walking around with my brother. And we always had to share stuff. And we always cursed a lot. As little kids, we always cursed a lot. And we're fighting over this ball. And he goes, well, you got to, you know, that's our ball. And I go, man, that's my ball, you know. And we went back and forth. So what I did is I got mad at him and I cut the baseball in half. It was a Rory. I cut it in half. I was so mad at him, I cut it in half. And then I started taking the string out, you know, the string inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, you dumbass. Now we don't have a ball. But I just got caught up with opening it in half. And when I got to the bottom, it had a little ball inside. I was kind of disappointed. But that was my introduction to baseball.
Wow.
Then I met a guy named Ed Figueroa. He used to be a pitcher with the Yankees in the big leagues. When I was like 8 years old, I was at a baseball field. And Felix Mignon, these are all-timers, Puerto Rican players that play in the big leagues. And they practice in a park in front of my house.
Wow.
Thurman Munson was there. I didn't even know these. I knew this because when I went back and remember, I said, these are Thurman Munson. I go up to them. They give me a hug. Thurman Munson plays with my hair, and I go, hey, can I play with you guys? He goes, ha, they're laughing. They're cracking up, Ross. You know me, right? I said, yo, can I play with you guys? I can play with you guys. He goes, Felix, go play with my son. I go, he's too young. He goes, go play with my son. That dude served me. He rocked my world. 1992, I'm in the Florida State League. They announced Felix Mignon Jr., and it's the same little boy.
No way.
And I went out to the game and said, hey, you know, I met you maybe 20 some years ago. Da, 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 da. He didn't remember. But anyway, that was my start to baseball. Then I moved to New York. Listen to this. I go to New York, and it's just like on TV when you watch those gangster movies. Kids playing stickball in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like that with a tank top and with a stick. And I'm just a savage. I'm just straight from Dominican, just ripping and running. First base is the wheel, the tire of a car. Second base is a sewer hole. Third base is another car. Hopefully that car don't leave, right? Because we won't have a third base. And it's all concrete. And every time I play, you know, guys would hesitate to dive over a car. I'm freaking, as you already know. I'm diving over cars and I'm getting all cut up, but I'm looking like Craig Nettles and I'm looking like a superstar, like, oh, my Yankees. That's all I care about. I was looking like a superstar.
Wow.
And I'm whistling and getting all that New York City vibe. And I fell in love with baseball. Well, lo and behold, I didn't even know there was a cop. There was a cop that always watched us in his car unit, always in the background, always watching us play. Two white guys. I only mentioned that because the only connection with white people were the cops. And a few teachers. So he called me over there. He goes, hey, Henry. That's my middle name. He goes, hey, Henry. I go over there. He says, hey, Joe, what's up? You know, that New York stuff. Hey, what's up? He goes, hey, I like the way you play. You got a lot of energy. You've been on a baseball field? I said, not really. He goes, I want to take you to a real field. I'm 11. He goes, I want to take you to a real field. I want to take you to a real field. So he goes, can I talk to your parents? I go, yeah, you're going to talk to my mom. We live on the sixth floor of that building there. So he goes, I'm going to come back. I'm going to park, and one day I'm going to take you. So sure enough, he comes and parks. He's got that beautiful New York City. Remember those hats back in the 70s?
Oh, man.
Woo, he's walking. And he's walking. And all my boys are making fun of me. They're cursing me. They go, ooh, you in trouble. I'm like, shut up. And I walk up, and as I'm walking up, this guy's real tall. I go, hey, Joe. I'm going to have to translate. My English is broken. I go, I'm going to have to translate for my mom. You know, she don't pick any English, you know?
Yeah.
So we go in, knock on the door. Mother's kind of real quiet woman. She goes, oh, todo bien, Henry? Everything okay? I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we sit in the living room. Remember, big ass TV with the big TV, the big console, and the smell of rice and beans in the house. And this guy walks in and he's looking around. He goes, hey, tell your mom that I want to take you to a real field. I said, mama, da, 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 da. She goes, really? I said, you know, we don't have that kind of money. He goes, don't worry about it. I'll put it up. It's like $20. Wow. I'll put it up. That guy pick me up on Saturday. I slept with my freaking uniform on Friday.
Oh my gosh, Benny.
He takes me to a park and I'm in this car. I think I've been in two cars my whole life by then. I'm in this car just like, ooh, I've been in two cars, period. Not a police car. I've been in like two or three cars in my whole life.
Did he take you in his squad car?
Took me his squad car and I'm freaking looking at my buddies. I like my buddies now freaking jealous now. They talking all that shit. Now they jealous. And I'm in this car and I'm like and I get there to the suburbs. All these well-to-do white kids with gloves. Hey, with gloves. I don't think I ever had a glove in my life. With gloves.
You're using a piece of cardboard or what?
No. He bought me a glove.
Wow.
And it had a strap. And me with my ADD, I'm going the whole ride. So when I get there, Ross, I'm looking at this dirt and this grass, and I go, it's on. I looked at him and go, what? And they start hitting me ground balls. And I come by. He goes, you like it, Henry? I go, oh, my God. The ball just goes straight. I said, the ball just goes straight. And people think I'm Dominican. I learned my stuff in Dominican Republic. No, I learned my stuff in New York City. I fell in love with baseball in the Bronx, New York.
The Bronx. That's what I was going to ask, is which borough. So the Bronx. Okay, so this is when you're 11 years old.
I'm 11 years old. It's a tryout. It's a tryout for a team that's going to travel the world. He gives me that glove. He goes, don't wear that glove. I'm going to try to get you an older glove. Don't wear that glove. He got me an older glove, but I wanted to show off. He said, don't wear that glove because the ball's going to keep coming out. And I'm like, I want to wear that glove. Well, I'm 209. They gave me a number with how they don't track.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm 209. The last day I get cut.
Oh.
That's why you see me, Ross. I failed at a young age. That's why I'm so tough on you guys. I learned how to fail.
I learned how to fail.
Anyway, they called 290, I think, and he goes, I don't think they call you, Henry. I go, let's go check. And this old man in his bike tight shorts and his whistle. And his And I go up to him. I go, hey, sir, you called 209? He goes, no, I called 290, and I went home, went in my room. I told my mom, if Zach, Israel, and anybody comes to see me, I'm not here for the whole summer. She goes, okay, you're going to hide. I said, yep. She goes, okay, you go ahead and hide. I don't think they care. I said, I don't care. I'm going to hide. So the summer went, a couple weeks went by. Finally, I had enough. I went down. She goes, they're going to love you no matter what. I came down. They all jumped on me. They, hey, Henry, we're very proud of you. So anyway, I wanted to tie that up, bring it together because – I failed at a very young age with something that big. And it taught me that, hey, it's okay to fail.
Wow. Benny, I mean, I love hearing that story because I love hearing just everybody has one of those moments where it's kind of like, whoa. I remember for me, it was second grade going and watching the University of Texas. Might have been watching you play when you were at Oak State playing against those Longhorns down at Dishfock Field. But I remember
I hated those guys.
Oh, everybody does. Well, not here in Texas, but they're learning to hate them. But everybody has that moment. And I remember such vivid, that's what I love about baseball, Benny. Like the memories, the smells, the feels, there's so many vivid memories of my early baseball development and growth, right? And that's the stuff that as an old man now, I look at and I say, that's what I remember. The childish type stuff. So let's fast forward here. Because there's so much to say for your baseball background. You played, I know you went to you went somewhere to school in Ohio, and then you transferred to Oklahoma State. You played under legendary coach Gary Ward. You played with the Boppers. You were part of an era of college baseball. I don't think that this younger generation, well, this generation now, you're kind of starting to see there's some bad dudes out there right now in the game of college baseball. But when you were coming up, it was like with your team in particular, you used to tell me, Benny, that when you were coaching at Augustana, and I just know this, hey, whenever I was listening to you, man, I was like just a puppy, like, oh my gosh, it's really like that. You would tell me that you guys would be out at games at Oklahoma State and other teams would be asking you guys for autographs during BP. Taking pictures. Tell me, I want to hear about, I want to hear about your kind of your college experience and like where you started and where you finished and kind of give me some insight into that.
So when I went into high school, we didn't have JV. So you either made the varsity or not. And I wasn't that good. I was real, always a skinny kid, tiny kid, fragile.
Did you know that? Did you know that about yourself?
Yes, of course I did.
Like that you weren't that good.
Yes, I did. But I had a heart. I just knew it was just a matter of time before wow. my size and my talent caught up with my desire.
Ooh.
These kids do it backwards now. They all want to do it backwards. Oh. All the coaches, even the kids that come to me, all the coaches, all the technology, they want to do it backwards. You first got to check yourself. So I knew that was just a matter of time before my talent and my growth would catch up with my desire. My desire was, I was still kids. I weighed 125, but my balls weighed 124. Remember how I used to drag my leg and practice.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I can see it right now in my imagination.
So when I was in high school, I was 125. My chemistry teacher, Mr. Paul Gordon, fell in love with me. He even wrote a little story about me before he died, a fictitious story about how I came with some cigarettes in my t-shirt, like back in the day, my wife.
Yeah, rolled that pack up. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said that I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. He just made up the story, man. But I made my high school team, and I was little Benny, always little Benny. And then when my senior year in high school, I was okay. I got to play a little bit. And then I heard about college. I didn't know these guidance counselors wanted to send the ghetto kids to a little white school so they could have a chance at a business program. And I go, I ain't trying to do all that. I want to play baseball. Well, I know I wasn't good enough. But one day in the middle, at the end of the summer, I'm playing in Brooklyn in youth services, legendary program where Manny Ramirez and Touch came out. I was one of the pioneers in that program back in the 80s, early 80s. And I overheard two guys back then with this soft toss on the side. We didn't do soft toss on the front. We did it from the side. Mm-hmm. And I heard two of my teammates talking about college. I go, hey, what are you guys talking about? Ah, we're going to a college in Ohio. And they go, they kind of getting more cocky. They go, you know, we got to get recruited. I don't even know what that means. They go, I don't give a shit. What does that mean? He goes, you got to get recruited and scholarship. I don't even know what the heck they're talking about. I started cursing them. I said, give me the number. Give me the number. And they were like, we got to see. I said, give me the number. So the next day I begged them for the number. I called the coach. I said, hey, coach, you don't know me. I'm 5'8", 125 pounds. But if I get on a plane, will you take a look at me? He goes, what? I said, yeah, I'll come on my own. I have no guidance. I buy my own ticket. I said, Mom, get a ticket together. There was an airline called People Express. Cost $25 to fly back then. I said, Mom, get $25. Get me on a plane. I ain't coming back. Sure enough, went to Kmart back then. Got me a chest. Put about my two pair of jeans I had on. Put on my little wrist thing here. Hey, put on my little thing for my wrist, my forearm.
Yeah, your forearms. Yep.
And I had a little green East thing called a sweet pea. And I packed that up in this pool. I had a pool bag that somebody gave me, and I packed that up. And I think I went to the store and got me two notebooks. I wasn't a good student, but I got me two notebooks, right? I get on a plane to Columbus, Ohio. Some black guy picks me up to Wilberforce, Ohio, about an hour and a half. And wow. Believe it or not, I was a real quiet boy. I'm in a little corner like this the whole time. He goes, you don't say much. You sure you're from New York? I go, this is my first time really away from home. And I'm going through these cornfields. And then he drops me off. He goes, here you go, son. Good luck. And I'm looking around going,
oh, my gosh.
You know, not where now kids get all this recruiting trip. Parents go set up their dorms and all that. I kind of cry sometimes when I think about that because I had to figure that stuff out on my own. Anyway,
wow.
I started watching athletes coming by. Well, I realized I'm in an all-black school. I go, all right, cool. I have boys that were black. Who cares? So I go to the main gym. I see guys, football players and baseball players like this. And I'm going, oh, man, maybe I came to the wrong place. Show up to the baseball field because I'm like 3 days later. I show up to the baseball field. I'm always wondering, you're going, yo, Benny, what the heck you doing here? I'm going, I'm here. Don't worry about it. I'm here. The two boys that were being secretive, I go, well, Ross, listen, man, to cut the story short, everybody wants to talk about my Oklahoma State. Central State University is the best program that I ever played for.
Central State University.
Little black school in Xenia, Ohio. It was a football school then, and we came and turned that place out.
Wow.
And I came in at 125 pounds. I started lifting weights, which was brand new into baseball at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I took a swimming class, and I started growing. Well, I thought I grew 3 inches.
Ooh, here we go.
And listen to this story, a classic Benny story. I went there as a pitcher throwing like 71. I said, I was getting rocked. I had a nice little curveball in high school. Yeah, I had a little nice curveball in high school, but they was getting rocked. So in one game, I went like this. Look, in a hood hustler fashion, I went in a game. Right?
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. So the coach pulled me to the side. He goes, "Listen, Benny, you didn't get hurt, but it's okay. You're not going home." I said, "I don't want to go home." He goes, "Here's the key to your dorm. Here's a pass so you can have 3 meals." First time in my life I ever had my own bed.
Holy cow, Benny.
And first time in my life I ever had 3 secure meals. I wasn't starving as a kid, but
yeah.
3 secure meals.
Wow.
And I look back one day to the dorm, walk into the park, and I go, "Oh, man, I'm going to tear this up." Well, anyways, I started working. I started begging the coach to put me in to hit. And one day he put me against Urbana University. He put me in. I got a little hit. And everybody in the dugout laughing, going, "Oh, look at little Benny."
Wow. Well,
little Benny wasn't little anymore. I beat everybody to the gym every day in the morning at 5 in the morning. I was the last guy there. When guys were complaining about the food in the cafeteria, I stole it from their plate. I stuffed it in my pocket, and I was eating 24/7. Now I'm getting bigger. I gained about 30 pounds. Well, just to cut the story short, I became one of the best freshmen in the country. I hit like 15, 16 home runs.
Wow.
From a guy that was a bench player in high school.
Listen to that, Benny. Like, I'm telling you, this is why. Like, this is why I get goosebumps thinking about it, because it's not about I don't want to bang on this generation. Everybody's, you know, everybody's has their own story and everything. But I want to say it like this. Like, I want to reiterate the reason why you're so special to so many people that I know that you've impacted is because of something you said earlier. And it's your heart, man. Like, you can't fake your heart. You can't fake whether or not you
Are you in or out? You can't
fake.
That's
right. So to you guys listening, if you're listening to this podcast, and I know they say this all the time to those kids out there that are, maybe I should play the video game. Go ahead. But remember this, you got dudes like Benny Castillo that are coming. And they're going to come, and they're going to take your job. And as a competitor, this hearing that story, this is a guy that figured a way out to Ohio and told his mom, "I'm not coming back." You figured it out on your own, and you wanted it more. Like, to me, as a competitor, that makes me want to work 10 times harder, because
check this out. When I went, you know, later on, we talk about Oklahoma State, but when I had that year, I said, you know what? I'm going to set goals. So I started working like a maniac. And I had a picture of this. I don't know why, but I had a picture of this white freckled red-haired kid in Nebraska. I just had this guy. That was my menace. With big forearm, because I hear that they carry all this hay and all this bullshit out there, right? So I'm like, okay. So I had this picture of this country boy in Nebraska. And his father made him carry all this hail.
Shout out to Nebraska.
Shout out Nebraska. Hey, I worked in Sioux City, Nebraska, so I can't be talking too bad about it. So I had this picture of this dude, and that dude woke me up in the middle of the night, and I would go check my refrigerator. Did I do my 100? I had a list that I composed myself. Did I do my 500 swings? Did I do my 200 setup? It was insane, dude.
Wow.
Did I eat my meals? I was just getting like, I was a robot. No social life, no contact, no girlfriend. There was none of that girls. And people thought I was gay. There was none of that stuff. There was none of that stuff, because I was consumed with being like going to places that friends went to that I know I could get to. It's just a matter of how can I get there.
Benny, I want to know this. Why baseball? You could have been consumed. Like, it could have gone. Maybe it would have basketball, football. I want to know this. Why baseball? Why did you become obsessed and fall in love with the game of baseball?
Because of the Yankees.
Wow.
I grew up where you could hear the noise from the Yankees. Greg Nettles, when he used to dive at third base. I'm like, God, I just wanted to die, right? My friends used to hate me because I go, yo, I want to die. Well, when I play football, throw it over the heck to die, and I'd be crashing into the hydrant. And they're like, Benny, there's more to it than diving. I just wanted to die. I just wanted that showpiece. You know, then Reggie Jackson came on the scene. Reggie Jackson was one of the first men of color that stood up for what was, you know, he was arrogant. Well, so am I. Little flamboyant, so am I, and he stood up for what was right. And I just loved his energy. And he was like, I'm the yep. best. I just yep. love that about him. And Dave Winfield had a foundation for inner city kids, so we could go to every game. We'll walk to the game and rap. That's how rapping started. We'll walk 20 blocks rapping and talk about each other's mom and this and that. But that wasn't our thing. Some of our friends became rappers. Cass, that he became real famous in the 80s, a rapper. Some of them became rappers. I became a baseball player. Why? You ask me why? Because when I used to dive and make a play and see my friends' reaction, how they reacted to it, I said, I like this attention. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And they were all bigger than me and better, but somehow, somewhere, Ross, and I saw that in you too when you came as a young man, I just knew it was just a matter of me holding my position and working and waiting for God to just go, whoo, here you go, young man. Here's your size that you needed. Then let me tell you about Oklahoma State.
Yeah, so get into it.
One day I'm at Central State University, and the upperclassmen invite us to their apartments because, you know, as a freshman, you have to stay in the dorm.
Yep.
They come eat a nice meal, some spaghetti, and we were like, oh, my God, we're going to eat some homemade meal. It probably wasn't a homemade meal, but we were just happy. And we're watching this Division I game on ESPN when ESPN was like birth, real blurry and stuff.
Yes.
Like it's Division I. And all these black dudes and Hispanic guys, we in awe watching all these D1 white players. And I get up in the middle of the game and I go like this, Ross. I'm going to play there one day.
Wow.
And this big dude, Turk from Illinois, they hated New York because he got in front of my face. He goes, you talk a lot of shit, you know. And Sammy, one of my boys from New York, he goes, man, don't put it past Benny. Every time I try to beat him, and Jimmy was all, let the nation in hitting. He like 5'30 one year. He goes, every time I try to beat him to the gym, he beats me to the gym. 2 years later.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I got goosebumps same story. Right now.
Same story. I get on a plane. I call Gary Ward. I say, you don't know me.
Are you kidding me?
How can I help you? I go, you don't know me. I want to get on a plane. And I want to come meet you. And I want to give you a trial. He goes, we don't do that here. I said, if I get on a plane, will you see me? He goes, really? How old are you, son? I said, I'm 19. I just got drafted in the winter draft. He goes, but he can't verify it because, you know, there was no internet. Then he goes, and I go, if I pay my own flight out there, I got enough for 2 days for a hotel room. Will you take a look at me? He goes, sure.
Wow, Benny. Dude, I never knew that about you. I never knew that's your way to Oklahoma State.
Nah. This is a story I tell kids when they get me pissed off. I go, you talk about glamorous and showcases yep. and all this. Let's talk about your real, the real grind, the real, what's the word they use now as a cliche? Your process. Everybody yeah. wants to use the word process. Well, yeah. I was in my real process at a very young age.
Wow, dude. Let me ask you this because, oh my gosh, Benny. I could do this podcast might last 10 hours, okay? And I don't really care if it does. I hope it does. I want to, where is that? Where did that come from? And I think I have an idea, but just your desire and your laser focus on what your goals were. Where did that come from?
You know, when you grow up in the Bronx, when you grow up in places like New York City, A lot of well-to-do people or middle-class people that are comfortable, they don't want to hear stories. Like, oh, it's the same old story. Oh, nobody wants to hear that you had it rough. We all had it rough. Remember, when you have it rough, when you have it rough and you're an outcast, I never looked at it that way, but when you have it rough, there's an internal, not for everybody, but there's an internal thing for some people like me. I'm a freaking animal. I want to rip your heart out.
Yeah, you do.
I want to have what you have. And not because you're white and you're middle class. I just wanted the same opportunity. And that's what I want for all my kids, whatever they're from. So when I was growing up, I used to get on the train. And I was very observant. I had my Walkman on, you know. Do you really want to hurt me? And I'm jamming to my music, right?
Do you really want me?
Hey, and anyway, I'm on the train. I'm watching all these people, right? And I'm watching as the train is going through downtown, through the middle town, to uptown. And I always notice the same population get off in the same stops. And then this population gets in the same stop and this population. And I started putting it together. Well, the social classes. As a young boy, I started realizing the social classes. There are places that I'm forbidden to go into because that's just the way it is. I'm not in that status. And I just started telling myself, instead of getting all pissed off, I watched these well-to-do business guy with suits, expensive suit, you can tell, going on Wall Street, because my school was by Wall Street. And I go, how can I get on that status? And I just started researching. I started watching people. I started going, how can I get on my hustle? How can I go to Princeton? I just knew I wasn't that kind of a student. So I can, how can I go to college? How can a Dominican, poor-ass Dominican kids with no dad, no resources, on public assistance, and freaking Section 8 roaches and rats bigger than you. How can I go to a college? Nobody in my family has ever gone past high school. How can I do that? And that was just my mission.
Man, that makes, oh gosh, kind of, it makes sense. And I want to go back because I know this, people listening to this. Guys, I want to hear more about this Oklahoma State because, guys, we're talking big time stuff. Gary Ward is one of the most famous, legendary, winningest coaches, one of the most well-known names in the history of the game of college baseball, period. Gary Ward, the sequential unlocking of body parts to maximize bat speed at the point of contact.
You got that written down.
I swear I don't. But I know this. I used to think about that. You told me that phrase one time. You said, hey, and back then when I was 18, 19, I'm like, what does that even mean? The sequential unlocking of body parts to maximize bat speed at the point of contact. You know what? When I started to really think about pitching after I've started to play, and even after my playing career, I started to think it's kind of like pitching, you know? And so that phrase stuck in my head, and it was like the sequential unlocking of body parts to maximize arm speed at the point of release, right? Similar type stuff. I want to get to you on Oklahoma State. You call Gary Ward, you get a tryout. You go try out. What happened?
The secretary goes, can I help you? I go, I'm Benny. He goes, oh, Benny, that came from New York. I go, yes. He goes, I don't know when he's going to be back. I said, in typical Dominican fashion, we wait 20 hours and we have to. I'm sitting there and she's bugging me every hour. And I'm thinking, how can I get this lady to disappear? She's asking me if I'm okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. We're good.
And I'm just sitting there a couple hours ago. Remember, I got drafted in that winter out of a JUCO. I went from Central State to a JUCO and tore it up. Got drafted in the last winter draft in the fourth round by the Indians.
Wow.
So I'm pretty, now I'm bigger, I'm puffed up, I'm 6 foot, I'm chilling now. Now I'm thinking I'm pretty good. Man, when that man showed up, I crumbled like a little girl, like a little, you know what I mean? We always talk about the little.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. He walks up. He got them glasses and country boy, he walks in. He got a chew, right? Can I help you? I'm like, oh. I said, yeah, I'm Benny Castillo. He goes, oh yeah, come on in. This guy takes me in his office. I've never seen an office that big, all mahogany. And all these trophies and all these flags, and I'm sitting there going, I thought I was pretty confident. I'm like,
holy man,
I'm watching Pete and Cavilli, and I'm watching all these guys that I saw on ESPN, and I'm going, whoa. He goes, how can I help you, son? I didn't know what to say. I remember he leaned back on his chair. You know those office chairs that lean all the way back?
Yeah.
And he's like this, look like this, like a big shot like this. And I'm going, what do I say to this guy? I got no representation. All I got is just me, 19-year-old. What did I tell this guy? He's like, I understand you just got on a plane. You wanted to check out our program. I'll say, yes, sir. I just got drafted. I got a scholarship. I just found out what a scholarship. I got a scholarship to a bunch of schools, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky. I had a scholarship to all these schools. They used to fly in to come see me in JUCO.
Mm.
I didn't even know what it was. My coach said, Benny, there's a coach here that want to see you. And I go, I'm training. He goes, I'm stretching. He goes, you gotta come see these people. That's what you gotta do. And I'm like, I'm stretching. The GM from the Indians came, and I'm like, I'm stretching. He goes, oh, you gotta come see them. Anyway, all these schools that I go, I asked one day, I asked my friend, what's the best baseball program? He goes, Oklahoma State. I said, that's where I'm going. He goes, no, Benny, they didn't give you scholarships. I said, that's where I'm going.
Dang, dude.
So I showed up there. I told him, he goes, how come you didn't take your scholarship? I go, I want to play here.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, well, really, we really don't do that. We really don't give tryout. I said, but I think he was impressed when I told him I was drafted and all those schools. And I started rattling, yeah. Right? And he had to wait for the next Baseball Weekly edition, Baseball America edition that comes out every month. So he had to believe me then. He couldn't wait a month, maybe pass on a talented kid, right?
Yep.
So listen to this, Ross. He goes, okay, I'm gonna try you out. Come back. Da, 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 da. I come back. I go in the locker room and I'm cocky. I'm 19 years old and I think I'm pretty hot. I wore my wrist tape, and this trainer doesn't even know me. I put my hand on his chest, and he goes, I'm nobody. He goes like that, whoa, 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 whoa. And I go, tape me. He goes, no. He throws me the tape, and I tape it myself, and I'm looking at him going, bitch, you're going to – I'm going to put my hands all over you one day. I'm thinking, right? Put the pre-wrap.
Put the tape. Yeah, looking good.
Looking good, right? Just for show. And I go out there, he's throwing batting practice to me, and I suck it up, and I'm hitting the ball. Boom, couldn't even get out of the turtle.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I'm just tight. So then he puts me in the outfield, and I go, okay, here we go. And I'm just throwing that thing. And then I come running from the outfield, and obviously, I mean, look at me, I'm 60 years old. Imagine my energy back then. I come running, I go, hey, coach, I wasn't. He goes, well, calm down. He goes, you're hitting? It's got a lot of work to do. But I love your arm and I love your energy. He goes, go get a jersey. I need your energy around this. And I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, don't worry about it, coach. I'm not going to disappoint you.
My last word
to that man.
Can you imagine, like, I'm lost in this conversation. We're talking to Benny Castillo here today, Showcasing College Baseball Podcast. Benny is a baseball lifer. This guy has been there, done that 10 times over. One of my former coaches. So Benny Castillo, I want to remind everybody who we're talking to today, Benny. Benny, you played it. You have such a resume. You went on after your playing career. You played professionally for 15 years. Yeah. You went on and you started coaching. I want to know more about your coaching career. Like you coached them in college. You managed in professional baseball. Give me some highlights of the professional managing career and why you really got into coaching.
When I got done playing, you know, when my talent started swindling, my talent level started decreasing, I started playing independent ball. And somewhat started dominating independent ball. But then I realized maybe I mature, or maybe because the level is not as good. It's just a combination, right? So I got real confident. And as I got older, I started investing a lot of my time in the younger players, the younger Latino players. I would translate for them. Or the younger kid coming from Iowa, whatever. I was an older guy. I was in my 30s, early 30s when I started playing independent ball. And got picked up again by affiliate, by the Indians, by the Rangers. And I always came back to independent ball. And one day, Gary Ward at Oklahoma State, he goes, Benny, one day you're going to be a good coach. Because I used to do his summer camps. And he always said, the way you touch kids, the way you talk to kids, one day you're going to be a good kid. And coming from him, I'm like, whoa, you know?
Yeah,
so I started believing that. And then when I got older in my career, when I knew I wasn't going to go anywhere, I just used independent ball to have fun and to kind of get ready for my coaching career. And a friend of mine, Harry Stavano, one of my dearest friends, he bought a team, the Sioux Falls Canaries.
Yep.
And I'm at Augustana coaching you guys. And I come home before the cell phones. I come home and check my messages. He goes, you got one message. Hey, Benny. Hey, Benny, call me. I got something to tell you. Call me after class. So I called him. He goes, he was a crazy ass Greek. He goes, I just bought a team and I want you to be the manager. I said, no, I'm 31 years old.
Holy cow.
He rattled all these players that play in the big leagues and triple. I go, no. He goes, yes, you're going to be my manager. And for weeks, man, what I was coaching you guys, I'm just thinking about it, getting nervous. And he goes, wow. You're going to be my manager. I'm going to get you a pitching coach that's older, that was in the big leagues, that's going to protect you. And that's how I got into managing.
Wow. Okay, so you went from the Canaries. And I know you managed, I want to say, in the Marlins organization.
That was my first job in affiliate. Yep.
Okay. Here's what I want to talk about. You because to me it's such an when you describe the way Gary Ward, the way you are with young men, like the way you are with the players, that's what I felt. I know this for you guys listening. We're talking to Benny Castillo today.
Don't make me cry anymore,
baby. Hey, dude, I'm not going to. But your BP. You made me feel like Babe Ruth. I was like, oh yeah. But I knew you were a natural as a coach. So. What motivated you? What motivates you as a coach? Like still to the day, guys, Benny runs a facility in Lakeland. Did I say that right? Lakeland?
Yes.
Lakeland, Florida, called Cool Breeze Academy. Guys, he's still giving to the game this day. He is all baseball. So why? What motivates you to keep getting after these kids? Because I know that it's bigger than baseball.
I used to love watching in your eyes when I threw BP to you and when you sucked and I looked at you like a sun in your eye and I go, really?
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what we freaking practice? And get your ass back in there. So I just like that interaction, talking to you like a kid, like you're my son. Yeah. You know, I have a daughter, Bailey. You know, I have a daughter, Bailey.
Yep.
She had the worst of it because can you imagine? Oh. I mean, at one point I had to hire a coach because it was just, I couldn't do it. You can't just turn that off.
Right.
So you asked me why I did it. It's because when I threw BP to you and I'm investing all my energy in you and you're not giving all your energy, I just want to pull you to the side and really strangle you, really.
Like, yes.
I want to go back to those days where we could slap you on top of the head and say, hey, man, what are we doing here? Why did you move from Denver to here? What the heck?
Yep.
What are you doing? You wasting your parents' money? You just want to be... You remember when I had a conversation with a boys at Augie? You just want to be little rich, white, suburban white boys
and be
in a club? Oh, because one guy was saying, you come here with your Dominican stuff. We don't need that here. I said, oh, you want a country club?
Wow. You know what? I don't ever remember but I do remember... you having to set some people straight and say, that's not how this is. That's not how this works.
Not what I'm here. And it's not because of me. It's because we're going to do this the right way. And I don't care if you're rich, if you're white, if you're black, if you're skinny, if you're yellow, we're going to do this shit the right way.
Yep.
And that's my intensity. It's not my way. I'm not trying to push my way onto you. I just want to let you know that if you're really talking crap because you were all cornfields and you were all whatever you came from, doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
You're going to face guys that are better than you. And what are you going to do when you come to Augie or you go to the minor leagues and you're not the best anymore? You're going to fold or you're going to take some of these skills and this ass whipping you're taking from a guy like me and other guys and make that work. That's my whole purpose, man. It's not, as you know, it's not for glamour. It's not for attention. It's not for the money, for sure. I just enjoy that. I enjoy looking at a kid in the eye and going, what the are we doing?
Gosh, and it's so needed. It's so needed. I'm going to get you going on this. I'm an old school baseball guy. I like to say that there are things that you can adapt to and you can adjust to, and we change, right? As humans, I think natural growth and change is good. Man, some of the stuff that goes on in the game of baseball today, Benny, just I don't understand it, I guess. Maybe that's the best way to say it. I know you're still deeply involved in the game and teaching the game. I want kind of your stance on the state of the game right now. Like the launch angle, the spin rates, all this stuff. I talked to some new guys, you know, recently, and they're sitting there, you know, telling me about the analytics type stuff that they pay attention to. And I'm like, man, I don't even know if I could have done that. I want your take on the state of game on the game of baseball since you've been there, done that, and you have the resume to talk about it. How do you feel about everything? Where everything's at right now?
Well, I have two young guys in my academy, two coaches. One is a young guy that does a great job of training catchers. And then I have a guy right next to me. He's a catcher hitting guy for the Detroit Tigers. He's been there for like 16 years. And he just kind of good guy with good friends, young guy. When I say young, maybe 30-something, 37. And when he looks at me, he just smirks. He's kind of smirks. He sees me working off the tee with this heavy weight and this, all this just off the tee. And he's got his machine and he's talking about spin rate and all that. And he's looking at me going, oh, wow, oh, brother. Probably thinking, how much longer can this old man do this stuff, you know? And I spend a lot of time sitting in a chair, in front of a tee. And they do all the things. They got all these toys that they use. And he goes, yep. Benny, you know, it's you're going to have to include some of this. Well, I don't have to do anything. I appreciate and I understand where he's coming from. You know, one day I'll be washed out and I'll be all done. But for me, a baseball session with a young man, yes, I want to talk about mechanics. But I want to also know yesterday I had a 15-year-old and I had to gut him out. And I had to put him on the phone with Marcus Phillips, Steve Phillips' son, one of my best friends. He's at University of Tennessee throwing 99. Two-way guy. So I had a video. I had a video call like this. So little Parko from a little private school, sometimes he gets a little attitude. I want him to feel what that looks like, what that feels like. Marcus soon is going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be in the big leagues for 15 years. And I want him to feel that. And he was just like, and Marcus just straight up told him the same thing I told him. He goes, hey, you know, this is a process, dude. Don't get caught up in three hits, two hits. It's a process. But it's hard to sell. Going back to your point about all this stuff, it's hard to sell to the parents and the youth nowadays the process. Because everybody wants to post videos on YouTube and Facebook of their kid getting two hits. For me, it was never about the two or three hits. For me, it was about my process so I could be better than you when I meet you, Nebraska, no face, freckle having, red hair having, when I meet you somewhere. And I met that guy. I met a bunch of them in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I was the number ninth outfielder. And in practice, I'm going, how the heck am I going to get out of here with these Cowboys? Bunch of big, strong dudes from Texas and 6'3". Yeah. People going, he's blue chip. I don't even know what the heck they talk about. You see that guy, he's blue chip. I go, I'm no chip. Let's bring it. I'm potato chips.
I got a chip on my shoulder is what I got.
I'm potato chips. So, you know, going back to all that stuff, yeah, that's necessary. I'm not as critical anymore like I was a couple of years ago about the whole thing. I get it. But they also need a little touch of reality. Parents, not the kids.
Yeah.
The parents. We're losing the parents to the bullshit.
Oh, yep.
We're losing the parents to the bullshit.
Man.
And they I tell them, you don't have to come to me. I hope you don't come to me. This is my business. I hope you don't come to me because if you really, really, and I didn't need a guy like Benny Castillo. I didn't need a guy like Benny Castillo. I did it. Because I had it in me to be the best that I can be. Now, if you can't, maybe you need to come to a place like Benny Castillo. But I tell them all the time, you don't need to. When you're on fire, there comes a time when you don't need that. You just know where you're going. I'm going point north, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to find a way to get there.
Benny, I think just with the relationship we've had over the years, I think the thing that I would say when talking with Benny Castillo here on the Showcase in College Baseball podcast, but the way when you say process, for you, to me, I can translate that, and I just say it's doing things the right way. It's playing the game the right way. It's respecting the game. It's embracing failure. It's not thinking you're too big. You're not that good. I'm not that good. It's respecting your opponents. It's having fun. It's not taking yourself too seriously. So when you say the process, man, I feel like as this conversation has gone on, I'm able to have this like clear description in my head of you're right. So many people, they talk about process. What is process? And I think that's like the bridge between old school and new school is old school. I'd like to consider myself older school, like, right? I would just like to consider myself that, my train of thought. But I think that's where the gap is the old school is you don't understand. Like, congratulations, you play on the best 15U team in the country and you're flying all over the place and you have all the gear that you want. That does not matter. You still have to go through this process to get to the top, to really get where you're wanting to go. Is that accurate? Is it kind of the way that I'm saying that? Is that kind of what you feel? What would you have to add on to that?
Well, it goes back. You remember when my 209 number?
Uh-huh.
I think every kid should fail. I always argue with Julie, my ex-wife, about Bailey. I said, let her fall on her face. Let her break her nose. Let her do whatever. But it's tough. It's tough, especially as a mother, right? And she was okay with it. But it's tough to let your kid fall. But nowadays, we just have these too many safety nets. And the kids don't know how to fail. I'm so glad that I failed at a young age. I'm so glad that I got to see people better than me, that have better stuff than me on the train. I'm glad that I saw bad things. Now we're trying to hide our kids from bad stuff and good stuff and from real life. I'm just so glad that I got to live a full life at a young age. And I got to realize, if I'm going to go to Oklahoma State, I better find out what those boys are eating and what they're doing.
Golly.
And when I got there, people fell in love with me because of my energy. They could never tell you Benny was a great player, but they could tell you that guy showed up. He wanted to eat that field.
Hey, man, you used to say, hey, some of the best advice I ever received, because I want to get into this. A couple more questions here, Benny. Some of the best baseball advice I ever received was from you, okay? And here's what you said to me. I remember sitting down with you my freshman year, and you said, we were talking about professional baseball, and you said, Ross, as long as you're playing, you have a chance.
Yes.
As long as you're playing, you have a chance. And I hear about your and another piece of advice that you gave me is you said, do you want to be a big leaguer? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I want to play professional baseball. I want to be a big leaguer. I want to be in the Hall of Fame. He said, watch what they do. You think that watch what those guys do. And go do what they do. It's not rocket science. If you want to be if you're listening to this today and you're a young man out there listening, you got dreams of playing in the game at the higher levels, like, pick your spot. Benny said, hey, Oklahoma State. What did he just say right here? Benny said, what are those guys doing? What are they eating? What is their, that's what I got to do. If you want to be in the big leagues, do what big leaguers do, right? The best advice ever was, as long as you're playing, you have a chance. Tell me what that means to you.
You know, we want to complain. We want to quit when we go 0-5, when we get rocked, when we have a couple bad outings. We want to quit. We want to quit, right? So it's, to me, it's how deep does that hunger of you saying that you want to be successful? How much does it wake you up in the middle of the night, man? Stuff used to wake me up in the middle of the night and sweat. I wanted to remember this because I used to remember getting up in the middle of the night, going to get a piece of food or sandwich in the middle of the night, 2-3 in the morning, and I'm walking the hallway going like this. And then I run into my sister. She happened to be up. She goes, "What's wrong? What's wrong with you?" And she wakes up the next day and says, "Mom, what's wrong with this dude?" And I go, "Girl, you don't know about that." And they would wake me up in the middle of the night, Ross, and I'll be there doing my push-ups and drinking my protein, whatever, you know? So to me, it's like, to summarize this whole podcast, it's like, how deep does your bullshit goes? Is it bullshit up here, or is it in here? Well, you just digging deep and then going, I'm going to kick somebody's ass. There's only one ticket to Stillwater, Oklahoma, mama. I only got one-way ticket. Don't send me that other one, please. I got no plan B. I have no plan B. I have no plan B, mama. Don't get me that ticket. I don't need it. Oh, what about? I said, don't worry about what about. They ain't going to be. No, what about?
Listen to that. Benny, as we kind of one or two more questions here, as we kind of wind this down, I want you to, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, the reason why I brought you on today is because the impact you had on me. I want you to impact. I want what you gave me. I want you to give to other people, and I think you're doing that right now. But specifically, let's give me some advice. What's your advice to those to those young players out there that are wanting to play at the next level? Maybe they're stuck. They're down on their luck. They're not really sure if they should keep going. What's your advice to the younger players out there, you know, wanting to play at the higher levels?
Hey, I'm gonna promote myself a little bit. So I'm putting a group of kids, teenagers, together to take them to Dominican Republic for the summer. 99% of them are suburban, well-to-do white kids. And I have to mention race because American kids are losing the battle to professional baseball, to these international players.
Not just in baseball either.
It's very sensitive, right? Doesn't mean that a white kid can make it. I read a post the other day where a white guy posted, it's okay to be white. It's okay to be white. It's okay to be white. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be whatever you want. It's okay. Yep. But just know that when you turn the TV, and I had a kid that I sent to a college, Connor State College, where I went to, and he came back. I told his grandfather, well-to-do kid, kind of a little bit. He didn't want to follow the process. He wanted to be pretty. But I took him out there anyway. They put him on the team and everything. I told his grandfather, which was one of my best friends, a couple of things are going to happen. He's going to call you the first couple of days. He's either going to complain about the food in the cafeteria. The second day, he's going to complain about the weather. Then he's going to complain about the Dominican the kids being loud. And then he's going to complain about the coach. Or it could be this and that. Sure enough, just like this.
Wow.
Oh, he's complaining about the food. What did I do? I just stole his food and ate it. Then he complained about the Dominican Republic that may be 25 instead of 20. Who gives a shit? Then he complained about not getting an opportunity. Well, he was home after the first semester. So my advice to these kids, right, which 99%, 95% of us are suburban white kids that are playing baseball. Now, in the U.S., black kids are not playing baseball anymore. Let's face it. And Latinos are coming from abroad or the ones that are here, right? I'm not saying that if you're suburban, or if you're rich, or if you're white, or this and that, you're not going to make it. It's just you have to have a device in you, like a car has a GPS.
Yep.
A device that goes lock mode. I just got in an accident a couple of days ago. Luckily, I'm alive. And my phone went, it looks like you're in an accident. It looks like you're in an accident. We all need a device that tells us, it looked like you were in a process. It looked like you're locked in a process. Oh, wow. It looked like you're insane. It looked like this. It looked like you're insane. It looked like you just senile. It looks like you just you're looking ridiculous. It looked like you don't have a girlfriend. It looks like you don't care about your prom. It looks like you don't care about your FTB or your XTX. It looks like you don't care about your Phantom, Venom, Bat, whatever they call it nowadays. It looks like you don't care about. It just looked like this device is locked in and we cannot get in. Boop, 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 boop. I'm going to die like this, Ross. When you come to my funeral, if you're thinking, man, what is? Hopefully I die before you because I'm older. I go, you look down and go, I wonder what Benny's thinking. I'm thinking, Ross, get me the heck out of here. I want to throw some more BP.
No, what you're going to be thinking while you're laying there is you're going to be thinking, throw me that cheese, son. Throw me that cheese, son. Hey, I want to finish this by saying, like,
sorry, I'm getting so excited, man. I'm sorry.
No, Benny, stop. Hey, I need you to be excited. I need this. I need this like once a week. Hey, listen, it's the entitlement. That's what I feel. I'll say it straight up. White, black, red, green, yellow. You can't play this game at a high level if you think you're owed something. And Benny, you are proof of that. Anybody can play this game. Does this game discriminate? No. You know what it discriminates against? Lazy, entitled people who think that they're bigger, they think they're more important, they think they've been there, done that. And it's not a negative thing. I'm not saying this is like, hey, if that's the way you want to be, but just understand this, that's not how it works at the higher levels. And your parents aren't going to buy you your way into a scholarship.
Not
your
anymore.
Daddy's not going to. What's
not
that?
Anymore. Not anymore.
No. So I want to hammer that point home of what I hear you saying is, it's like, if you're going to skip all the process, the true process, and things are handed to you, we're way off the mark.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something to ease your pain, okay? Because I'm a little older. We're old school, right? We set in our ways, and we have an idea. But it's our job. It's our job to meet these kids halfway.
Yeah.
It's not our job to keep talking bad about them. I'm done. Yep. I'm almost over that talking about analytics, talking about how bad it is. I told my friend Jeff Fry, you know, I follow Jeff Fry. Yep. He goes off on people. He's got a bigger name. He doesn't need to listen to me. He knows me through the minor leagues and all that, but he doesn't have to listen to me. But I tell him, you know what? You have a platform. I think it's our job, a guy like Jeff Fry, me, you, it's our job to be that conduit. Not to talk bad about these kids because they don't know any different. Or these parents. These parents are like, you know what these parents and kids are like? It's like in a nest, and they get newborn little birds and they're like this. So it's our job to feed them.
Yep.
The genuine, not that we're the best, but we're at least genuine. And we got to convey that in a way that we're not too arrogant. Sometimes I come off too arrogant and kids don't come to me anymore. 15, 16-year-old, they stay away from me sometimes because I'm too abrasive. And that word's been used to describe me by these kids that can't stand it. They'd rather go somewhere. Oh, that's okay. But I need to find a way not to lose those kids if I really want to make an impact. So my advice to you is that we got to turn the switch. We got to stop that verbiage. We got to change it and make it a positive thing. And take a deep breath and go, okay, this is what it's going to be for the rest of it. It's probably going to be for the rest of it for you and I. This is it.
Yep. Hey, I love that perspective, Benny. And I always say this to anyone that I talk about, just the college recruiting process in general is it's not about where you can't play. It's about where you can play and let that fire in your heart motivate you to find that place. Because listen, the baseball is the most beautiful game in the world, and the relationships and the connections that you're going to make far exceed anything you'll ever do on the field. Yes. It's more about the relationships and the networking and the connections. But Benny, man, I want to say this. I want to thank you for your time today. I know, man, you're a busy dude. I want to thank you for your time. I love talking with you. We're going to do this more. Even on this, we could probably do a weekly episode with you. the Benigno Castillo, vamonos.
Oh man. Let me tell you something real quick.
Yep.
The best gesture a coach ever done for me, it was a guy named Matty Alo. Remember the Alo brother, Felipe Alo, Jesu Alo?
Yeah, Alo. Yeah.
They play the outfield together. The only three brothers that played in the big league together in the outfield. Matteo Alo led the league in hitting for many couple years. And he was my hitting instructor with the Tigers. He was a roving guy. He roved around. And when he came to Fayetteville, North Carolina, he took all the Dominican kids and put us together and took us to our apartment and gave us a ride, and he cooked for us. I remember this old man, this freaking big leaguer, cooking for us. And I'm watching this old man, old. He died recently. He's cooking for us, and I'm going, why? And this man was just so happy cooking for us. And I asked him, I said, why? He goes, because somebody did this for me before.
Mm.
And I like to remember those guys. He criticized my swing because I had a rough swing, but he was also trying to meet me halfway. And that's kind of what I'm pleading with you. It's like, he was changing. I was new to him. I was the new wave of guys with the wristbands and the chin guard and all this glare, right? And I started to come on the scene even back then. As much as I criticize it, we did a little bit of that too in the bat.
I get it.
Right? So he was trying to meet me halfway. As much as he hated it, he was trying to meet me halfway. So guys like you and I that are in a position, especially you now with the show and your position, and you go into people's living room, you go into families, you talk to families, we're in a position to impact. The only way we're going to impact is not by shoving stuff down their throat. That's me. But I'm changing.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Trying to be that. Okay, man, this is where I came from. This is where I am. Can you show me what you do? And I could tell you if this is going to work out just by experience, because some of that stuff is not going to work, you know?
Yep. No, Benny, that's really, really good stuff. And man, I'll just say this. We're going to wrap it up and the Showcase of College Baseball podcast with Benny Castillo today. We're going to wrap this up and just let you know, man. Benny, you're one of the best guys I've ever been around, one of the best coaches I've ever been around. I want to thank you for that. And I want everybody listening to this, watching it, reach out to this guy. Raise your hand, ask for help, because when you have resources available like this and we don't use the resources that the game has given us, the game of baseball has given us a resource like Benny Castillo, raise your hand, ask for help. This dude will help you, and he'll help you more than you'll ever know. So, Benny, thank you for being on the podcast today. I love you, my friend, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
Love you.
Any, hey, give us a final comment for our audience and take us out.
I can hit a little bit.
Ross, I love you, man. Bye-bye. See you, Benny. All right.
Again, I want to thank Benny Castillo for taking some time to talk with us today. Go give him a follow on Facebook. And if you're in the Lakeland, Florida area, hit him up. Not only is he going to teach your kid how to play the game the right way, he'll probably even cook for you. Love you, Benny. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and on behalf of Showcasing College Baseball, I want to thank you for listening. Be sure to follow the Showcasing College Baseball group page on Facebook or visit us at collegerecruitprep.com for more of our podcasts and content. We will see you next time.